This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm excellent. How are you, Dean?
We're good. It's one of those crazy days. We got a lot of snow a few days ago, but now, of course, the temperature keeps climbing. Mm. But yeah, it's like the roller coaster winter this year. How about you?
Well, no snow at my place. Raining and gloomy today. But, you know, I'm watching. Is this going to be one of those March where we're in like a lamb and out like a lion? That's my question.
And you were like, you are probably more concerned. Like, you want the water, right? You want the water because you depend on that and the water table.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably as high now as it can be. So any rain or snow that was melting right now is going out to the lake or the bay or whatever the case may be. Because I'm in Prince Edward County, so we're on a big island. And the water table can only get so high, and then it's off sideways. But it's just so windy here. I have never, ever, ever gardened, done any horticulture in the amount of wind that we get here. I mean, it's just crazy. And that really dries things out. So that's when there's no snow on the ground and the wind is just whistling and the plants are whipping around. And I'm like, oh, talk about dehydration or desiccation of things like evergreens. Now, again, the soil is moist. It's not the end of the world. But it's very different.
You know what? You should start a kite festival out there in Prince Edward County with all that wind. That's, you know, really what we should be doing. We should be growing kites.
Really good idea. Exactly. Edible. If we can put plants up on the kites, they'd be even closer to the sun. Think about it.
Okay, you and I have a project to deal with. I'm going to give out the numbers, and then I know you have an announcement before we go to break. We would love for you to give us a call with an indoor gardening question, outdoor gardening question, maybe not kite questions, but, you know, go the, you know, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. Or if you live outside Toronto, anywhere else in this beautiful province of Ontario, here's the toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. And Ashley's away this week, so we've got Owen sitting in. He's our technician, he's our producer. And so if you are a first-time caller, let Owen know, and I will give you your garden wings. We want you to call often. We want you to call early. And please, one question per call. Over to you, Charlie.
Well done, Dean. Whew, you're efficient sometimes. Mm-hmm. So just a reminder, Seedy Saturday. It's all about the Seedy Saturday. So today in Toronto at the Evergreen Brickworks, the time on that is 9 a.m. So store opening now until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Open to everybody. Come and swap seeds. Speak to experts. See some vendors. One of the vendors who's there is one of my favorite, called Permastake. They make little garden markers, and they're aluminum, and they're reusable forever and ever and ever. They're wonderful when you are planting seeds. Keep track of them with your little garden stakes. And next Saturday, of course, Brampton is hosting their Seedy Saturday at the Century Gardens Recreation Center. Again, open to everybody, and that is from 10 until 3 next Saturday.
Okay, and I have a question about the Seedy Saturdays, because you refer to them as seed swaps, and I'm being very earnest with this question. Do you have to have seeds to swap to go, or can you just go and buy seeds?
Very good question. You do not need to have seeds to swap. You can just buy seeds. You can also just, you know, talk to experts. And swapping seeds, yeah, it's a way, when you're swapping, then they're free, right? So yeah. you might know some of the people at the show, and you might know they have beautiful hollyhocks, and there they are with little envelope of hollyhock seeds, and you're like, oh, I've always wanted some of those. So it's that kind of a thing as well, that you might be coveting something that your neighbor has, and here's your chance to maybe get some seeds from that. And quickly, just before I forget, a reminder from Karen. She sent me an email from near Dunville reminding everybody, grab these moments. Do a little pruning on your forsythia when it's not raining. Bring in those forsythia branches and enjoy spring indoors.
Okie dokie. We are going to take a break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, I have got our first caller for us. Okay, we've got Jody on the line, who's calling from Scarborough. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jody.
Good morning. Good morning. Charlie, last year my tulips were beautiful. They came up in clusters or bunches. There was like maybe six or eight blooms in each bunch. They were just beautiful. You know, they were just at that point where they open and you can just see the color coming through. Mm-hmm. Well, the next day, all the blooms were gone. It was just sticks, the stems, like someone took scissors and just cut the blooms all off. I stood there and thinking, this is not my garden. I'm in the wrong garden. They were just gone.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I remember the first time that happened to me, I thought some little gremlin small child had come through and picked all my tulips and taken them home to their mother.
Yeah.
You know who does that? Squirrels. Yeah. Squirrels are so nefarious. If they can't get the bulbs, if you somehow manage to protect the bulbs, then they say, well, poop on you. I'm just going to bite the flowers off. They usually bite and drop. Like the flowers are probably still there on the ground. What are you going to do? Well, you can cage them, you know, build yourself some little chicken wire cages to protect the flower, the above ground plants from those squirrels. You can spray. There are sprays out there that are deterrents. The one deterrent that I do recommend and I have used and had good success with is called Plant Skid. So it's the word plant, P-A-P-L-A-N-T, plant, and then S, I can never remember, S-K, I think it's Y-Y-D or Y-D-D, either way, I'll just check that. You'd think I'd know how to plant, yeah, S-K-Y-D-D, D as in dog, Plant Skid. Get a hold of that, follow the instructions, spray once, you don't have to spray a bunch of times, spray once, but as your tulips are growing, you'll have to spray more than once, and nobody will touch them, no rabbits, no deer, preferably no squirrels.
Okay, well, I'll look for that. Charlie, I listen to your program all the time, and from time to time you'll say, you know, to prune in early spring, and I'm not too sure when early spring is. Like, right now, is it early?
Well, right now is early spring, because this is an early spring. Normally, early spring is more late. Well, sometimes it's mid-March, late March. This year's an early spring. So, yeah, pruning, this is early spring now. Things are starting to swell. I did a little walk around my garden. I'm seeing a little bit of bulb action. My bulbs, my buds on plants like serviceberry have noticeably enlarged because they're getting all excited. They're early plants. However, don't prune on a wet day. So if it's gray and gloomy in Scarborough, the way it is at my place, today is not a pruning day. Wait till it's sunny and dry.
And does it matter if we get a snowfall? If I pruned a bush or a hedge or something, and then we had a snowfall late in April or something, would that hurt it?
No, because you're going to prune on a nice dry day with sharp pruners, and you'll have full, clear healing of that wound, so it's all good. And good on you, Jody, snuck in three questions.
Yeah. Well, almost the bell almost went off there. Okay, got to run, Jody.
Thanks for calling.
Speaking of squirrels and skid and all that stuff there, I have to tell you, I had an encounter, an unexpected encounter this week. I have a two-part shed. I have two entrances, right? And so I flip whatever seasonal sort of thing. So I was putting some shovels away, and I heard something on the other side, and I thought, oh, what's it? I thought Gail was in the shed. And then I came out. She was sweeping out front. So I went out back, and we have a raccoon who has made his way into the shed. And he and I were staring at each other.
That might be a she, not a he.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you might want to are you going to try and get that raccoon out?
I went in about three times, and I had a flashlight, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I need you to get out. So my deal is to go back in there today and see if it has vacated. I'm hoping it has.
Or given birth. It's probably a great spot for nesting.
Really? Oh, yeah. I don't want that.
No. They are really cute, though.
They raccoon are very babies cute, are but so I don't want to. I don't want to shed four raccoons.
Oh, they're so cute.
No, I'll have to just get a bottle of that skid and paint the inside of my shed.
True, that plant skid would work. Actually, if you sprayed, it probably would scare them.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be a challenge for you. Yes, we'll stay tuned for more information.
Okay, we'll do. The numbers again: 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back on the Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show on this first Saturday of March. Yes, indeed. And you were talking about spring, Charlie. Spring, of course, comes sort of a day early this year because of the leap year day. Mm. And so usually it hits around the 20th. This year, I think it starts on the 19th of March is when spring
starts.
Can't wait.
Always excited for spring.
Yes, indeed. I love it. You and I both have early spring birthdays. And
best time of year.
One of my favorite things about the spring, I got to say, is that the maple syrup is running. Love it. It's one of my favorite parts of spring.
Well, you probably have this too up in Collingwood. We have, it's called Maple in the County. Yep. So one weekend, it's actually March 23rd, 24th, a bunch of the maple syrup producers do pancake breakfasts. And the best part is it's all the maple syrup you can eat. And I mean, like it's just everywhere and you can just pick it up and just pour it down your throat and nobody will stop you.
That might have a trip to Prince Edward County all over it for yours truly. In the meantime, we're going to go to our next caller who's from Newmarket. Yes, we have Jean on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning to my two favorite people on a Saturday morning. I'd like to give a shout out to the older gentleman who is now partially retired from gardening. When he would call in and you and he would get into some great discussions because you were both so knowledgeable. And I hope he's listening, and I don't know his name. You might.
I think I know who you're talking about. And you're right. Yeah. He is mostly retired now.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. You're amazing.
It's fun.
Amazing. My question is, please, is it now time to spray my apple trees, my big orchard of three trees? They're 3 years old.
No, good for you. And good to be thinking about it because you're absolutely correct. All right, is it time? Well, like I say, if it's raining at your place like it is at mine, today is not the day. But it's called dormant spray. So everybody out there that has anything that's fruit-based, whether it's a berry bush or an apple tree or a cherry or even a rose bush, anything that's got fruit, which is a lot of plants, needs dormant spray when the plants are dormant. So yes, plants are still dormant. And the criteria, of course, is the temperature has to be above zero. And if you look at the package, there'll be a box with two bottles in it. One is horticultural oil. The other is lime sulfur. So two different liquids, which will be mixed together with water and sprayed as per the directions on the package. So above zero, preferably not a windy day because you don't want to be wearing the spray. You don't want it spraying back at you. It's oil-based. And number three, no frost in the forecast, obviously no rain within 24 hours. So you want all those three things, and then it's perfect spray weather. It is a preventative spray. It's the one we use across Ontario because, and this is where gardening can be so challenging. If you go to Google and say, Google, when do I spray my fruit trees? It's going to come back with all kinds of information that is totally wrong for Ontario. It's going to come back with American information, which is all about spraying throughout the growing season and not spraying when the plants are flowering. And that's true. We don't spray when they're flowering. And we could spray throughout the growing season with the oil only part of the spray, not the lime sulfur. And so, yeah, there's different things we do, but we're limited to what we have. So dormant spray is the most important spray done anytime now over the next few weeks.
What kind of a sprayer for three trees though? And what do I do with the leftovers? if there is.
Okay. Well, you know what I do is I love, there's something called a dial-a spray. So you've got a hose, you've got to obviously hook your hose up. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be, you know, past winter to do this, or at least unhook if necessary, if we're getting a big cold snap. And then, yeah, dial-a spray is a gizmo that you attach to your hose. You set the little dial at the top and you, it's got a reservoir. So into the reservoir, you just measure what you think is going to be what you need, which is not even that much of anything. And it's all got calibrations on the reservoir. You pour in your lime sulfur, you pour in your oil, you agitate to keep them mixed. As you're spraying, water gets included into this mix so that it is properly neutralized by the water. And you spray, spray, spray. If you still got a bunch left over, then that particular spray, I would probably just pour it on the ground around the plants if you had a little bit left. And then it's just soap and water. Give it a wash. Let it dry.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
You are very welcome. And thanks for the call, Jean. And you call back anytime you like.
Yes.
Okay. The number's the call. Yeah. When you call and say that we're the favorite people of your world, then you call anytime you like. 416-360-0740. 1-866-740-4740. We have a first-time caller on the line from Hamilton. And assuming that she has a question, here's your opportunity to educate Rita. Welcome to the Garden Show, Rita.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm calling to
Charlie doesn't think that I know how to do my job here. She is telling me where to go. She's telling me to ring the bell. And so I don't know what I have done wrong this morning.
Garden
but she
wings.
Likes to give me direction. So here you go. Here is the bell. There's your first time caller bell. Thanks, Charlie.
Welcome to the show, Rita.
Yes, good morning, Charlie. The reason I'm calling is that every year I have a really beautiful bumper crop of tomatoes come in, and I harvest the seeds in the season, at the end of the season. And what I'm concerned about is, when is the right time to plant those seeds inside my house so that I have little plants ready to go into the garden when it's planting time?
I
wrap them large enough they're going to survive. Sometimes I put them in and they look like little threads, and believe it or not, somehow by some miracle, they grow into these giant, beautiful plants. But I want to put them in when they're a little bit larger. So would it be too soon to plant the seeds now?
Yes. Well, okay. Depending on what kind of a growing situation you have inside your house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So optimal conditions.
I've had success. I put them inside those little plastic containers, and I put those containers on a windowsill in the basement facing the sun, and I spray them every day until the little green starts to show, and they do come up, but like I said, they're very, very tiny, very thin. They look very fragile when I put them in the ground.
Okay, so the reason they're so thin and fragile looking is they're not getting enough light.
Okay.
Even though that's a bright window, it's still not enough light. So we do tend to get very spindly plants and also pale green plants from our seedlings if we don't have enough light. So that's why I was wondering what your conditions are. You could put supplemental light on. I mean, there's so many cool little LED fixtures out there now. Canadian Tire has a bunch of them. You know, it might be a $30 investment for a little windowsill. It looks like almost like a fluorescent tube, but of course it's a strip of LED lights. And that's, I start my seeds not only under lights, if lights are required for germination, but also with heat. I give them heat from below, speeds up the germination, and there's always a tendency to get the tomatoes in the ground too soon.
Right.
So what we do is we say, okay, you're in Hamilton, your last frost date, we never really know when that is, but it's probably around the first week of May, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we count 8 weeks back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 8 weeks back would actually take you to starting your tomato seeds the first week of March. But
okay.
I would only do that if you had enough light. If you don't have enough light, I'd wait 2 more weeks.
Right. Okay. Because like I said, I've always had great luck with them. Last year, they were absolutely enormous. The plants were huge, and I had 3 or 4 different kinds of varieties, and I was sharing them with everybody, like in boxes and boxes of tomatoes, coming from plants that I didn't even think would have survived. So my concern was just getting the plant big enough just to put it in the ground, you know.
Well, you're definitely doing something right. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, just hold off a little bit. Or like I said, get yourself a little supplemental light system.
Okay. That's great. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for the call there, Rita.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. I was going to mention that that another place to get a lot of good growing stuff is PV Mart. I've been in there, and they have a ton of stuff for growing seeds. All those lights and all those,
cultivation stuff. Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, there's so much I could do a whole show just on starting seeds. But you know, when we are starting whatever seeds and whenever we're starting them, assuming we're doing that indoors, make sure you've got some seed starting mix. Mm-hmm. So you buy fresh potting mix, but not just, you know, potting mix, but seed starting mix. It's much finer. Again, you'll have a higher level of germination with the right tools. And I mentioned, you know, heat from below, moisture. Of course, Rita sounds like she knows what she's doing in terms of spritzing and keeping things moist, but not too wet, and good drainage and all that important stuff. So yeah. Good on you. And I'm really, you know, champing at the bit. The one thing I'm starting for the first time this year is sweet potatoes. It's been really hard to get a hold of the plants. They're called slips. When you plant a sweet potato, you plant a slip. And you can't just buy, it's not a seed or anything like that. So I've got a couple of experiments I'm running here to see how long it takes to get slips. I think I started too early. I'll probably have to start again. But yeah, have you ever grown an avocado seed or pit? In a jar?
Yeah, I recall them toothpicks. They're suspended over a glass of water or something like that.
Exactly. And then an avocado grows out of the pit. Yeah. Well, same idea with a sweet potato. You suspend a sweet potato in water and little roots grow out the bottom and little stems grow out the top. And you want them to be, you know, good 5-6 inch tall stems before you break them off. And then they go into water to produce roots. So it's a two-step process.
Gotcha. Okay. I have an email. If you wish to email Charlie, her email is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. And our last caller was from Hamilton. And ironically, this email is from Hamilton as well. Debbie, she's hoping you can help her with this, Charlie. She says she gets leaves in her garden at the front of the house late in the season every year. She tries to get most of them out. But last year was very late in the season, and our city stops the collecting of garden waste. To be honest, she just couldn't keep up. And when do you think she should clear them out? She says, I see little snow drops trying to come up. I also have lots of crocus and tulips to come. And again, she's in Hamilton. So that's Debbie.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for the email, Debbie. The thing about leaves is she doesn't mention what kind of leaves they are. So there's some, like, it all comes down to leaf size. Now, it also comes down to variety. So if they were walnut leaves, you want to get them out of there. Even if they're oak leaves, they just decomposition takes forever with oak, but it's probably not oak that have dropped. If they're maple leaves, they're big monster leaves, and they're just flat on the soil, and they will suffocate what's below. But if they're honey locust leaves, they're tiny little things, and they will decompose very quickly, and you never have to deal with them. I'm assuming she's probably got, like, say, maple leaves. And if so, two things I would recommend. In the fall, if they're no longer collecting leaves, but they are piling up on your lawn still or your gardens, grab a green garbage bag, rake them into a green garbage bag, preferably dry, but it's okay if they're wet, doesn't really matter. Tie up the bag and stick the bag somewhere on your property and against a shed, you know, somewhere where it won't blow away, and leave it all winter. In the spring, that will be leaf mulch inside that bag, and you can put that out on your garden. Otherwise, leaves on the garden are great. They're not great on the lawn, but they're great on the garden. If they're big, though, you are going to want to go in with your little fingers or a little cultivator and just move them around a bit. Allow the things that are under those leaves to be able to come up. But don't get rid of them. They are full of all kinds of great nutrient. They are organic, obviously, 100% organic, adding important and very important microorganisms, et cetera, to your garden soil. So we love leaves. I never get rid of them.
Yeah. Now, Gail and I were talking about leaves and things that you said in the past about them. It seems to me that you also have sometimes recommended that you can put them in a pile and run your lawnmower over top of them to chop them up a bit and then put them on your garden.
Exactly. And but again, once it gets to like late November or you know, the weather just isn't with you,
yeah.
most people are just going, enough, like, I don't want to deal with this. And I've had that happen where it's just too late in the season and the lawnmower has been put away and I'll just mm-hmm. bag the leaves. But you're right. Earlier when it's still October and the leaves are coming down in droves, yeah, the push mower with the bag on it, perfect, perfect. Get chop Sweet. Up those leaves and put them on the garden.
Excellent. Okay, before we go to our next break, we have time for one more caller. We have Margaret on the line from Dunnville. Welcome to the Garden Show, Margaret.
Thank you. My question is kind of more a general one for indoor plants, because mm-hmm. I was wondering about lighting. Mm-hmm. Now, I have east windows, and I've got some south, and I have some west. But my question mm-hmm. is, with south, if I have shears, how much does that cut the sun back?
It cuts it back from being direct sun, because sometimes it'll say on a tag or in a book, this plant needs direct sunlight. So if you've got shears closed, you are no longer providing direct sunlight. You're providing indirect sunlight. So it's bright. It's not a bad thing, but it's not direct. So who needs direct sunlight? Well, if you wanted to grow cactus or succulents, jade plants as an example, or Christmas cactus, they want direct sunlight. Whereas if you want to grow African violets or so many other indoor plants, they're happy in indirect sunlight. They just want a bright spot. So what we do is we choose the plants to grow based on our light.
The indoor lights, how do you know which ones are good?
Oh.
Like there's so many of them out there.
Yeah, well, they should all be pretty good if they're designed for growing plants. Number one, make sure it's a grow light. The bigger question is, the bigger question for something like that is getting a light. You know, there's spotlights for growing. There's little... like I mentioned, you know, like a windowsill strip light of LED. There's 4 foot long fixtures to suspend over a bench. But the difference is the LED lights really, really change things for the growers. They're cool lights. They don't add heat to the room or heat to your house. They use very little electricity and they are designed with the exact right wavelengths. So they're usually a purple light is what comes out of them because it's a red blue light. Little tiny diodes of different colors, those two colors, ends up looking like a purple light. And no, they're lovely. And you can bring them right down close to the plants because they don't provide heat. The old days when we had all these sodium lights and fluorescent lights and different lights, you couldn't put them too close to your little seedlings because they would burn them. But LED does not. So no, there's some great stuff out there. Like we were saying, PV Mart, your regular good old Canadian Tire, Home Depot, they've got all kinds of stuff to choose from. A good garden center is your best for the best advice.
There you go. And Charlie Dobbin has once again shed some light on the situation. I have to go to a break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by Dean Holland. And it is the first Saturday of March. And the numbers to call, 416-360-0740. Toll-free number if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie, I have to admit that this time of year, I always get the spring fever. The smell changes in the air and it is one of my very, very, very favorite times of year.
And you're right about the smell. Our cat who never goes out in the winter starts getting really excited to get outside now. And it's so funny. I mean, he's an old cat, so he's pretty slow and he kind of cantankerous and he steps out the front door and his little nose, he looks like a rabbit, eh? The nose just starts twitching. It's like, oh, what is all that? That's so great.
Yeah, it is great. And we have a caller on the line from Brampton. We're going there. We've got Dina on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Dina.
Hello. It's nice to talk to both of you again. My question is about garlic. Do you plant it in March or should I wait till April when it's warmer? I guess I buy them at a nursery. That's where I would buy them.
Mm. Okay, so there's a couple of questions there. So optimal time, actually, Dean could answer this question. The optimal time to plant garlic.
Yeah, he's a garlic expert.
It's in the fall. You really want to plant your garlic in the fall. So, and where you live, the best time to plant is October, middle to late October. The garlic will stay alive underground all winter and will start to grow in the spring. So if you haven't planted garlic, but you want to, then wait. Yeah. You probably find the soil is going to be too wet. We don't start working the soil. We don't walk on the soil. We don't dig the soil until some of the moisture is gone, until it's not mucky. You'll know it's time to start digging and planting when you can take a handful of soil, make a fist with that handful of soil, open your fingers, and if that soil in your palm of your hand does not stay in a tight little ball but actually breaks apart, now you can start digging around, and then that's when you would plant your garlic. It'll be a smaller garlic because you'll still be harvesting it this summer, and you'll buy it. You can buy it at a grocery store, or you probably may or may not find it for sale in a garden center. Just make sure it is not from China, preferably Canadian garlic, preferably Ontario-grown garlic.
All right, not China, Ontario. And so I can't plant into the fall, as you said. Canadian only. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to buy the garlic from the store for this year.
Yeah.
I thought it was the spring that you planted the garlic and then waited all summer kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it likes being in that deep cold, right, Charlie?
Yeah, it's like, you know, tulips and daffodils. They need to be underground. So it's fine. It just won't have as big of cloves at the end of the season. Our season for us, for those of us that planted in the fall, like Dean, of course, planted in the winter, but most of us planted in the fall. We will be harvesting in late July. Exactly. Whereas Dina will be harvesting probably in August, September.
Okay. Thanks for the question there, Dina.
Thank you very much.
And before we go to our next caller, just want to mention also that, I often go to wherever your local farmer's market is that starts in May or whenever. Certainly towards the end of the summer, you can buy garlic there too. That's where I quite often historically will get a nice big bag, and I just hang it in my fruit cellar.
Oh.
My cold.
Put it in the shed, and then the raccoons won't move in.
I got no raccoons and no garlic or no vampires.
Yeah, exactly. Like obviously, in your fruit cellar, root cellar, there's no raccoons. But you know, maybe it could do double duty out in the shed.
Maybe I will try. I might be going in there today with some garlic. Okay, we have another caller on the line, and she's a first time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Joanne from Welland. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
Joanne, before you ask Charlie your question, I'm going to give you your garden wings. We love that you're a first-time caller. There you go. You earned them.
Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I have two big rosemary plants that I overwinter. This is their third year, and they do really well in the summer, but right now they're getting tired, and they have powdery mildew, and I do spray them. And the last spray I did, I did a baking soda spray. Now, I'm not sure if they liked it too much, but they look awfully ghostly right now. So anyway, my question is, can I prune now? Because it's getting close to the time where I could put it outside. Can I prune into the hardwood? And should I keep spraying? And what else can I do?
Yeah, so good for you. I think, I mean, rosemary lives for as a woody shrub in the Mediterranean. Like when I was in Spain last year, I saw rosemary bushes that were huge. I was like, I've never seen rosemary that big. It was so, they were probably a meter tall by a meter wide. Like these are big bushes.
But
we can't do that. For us, rosemary is, as you notice, is a bring in the winter and out in the summer kind of plant. I would prune it back. Would you prune it right to the hardwood? Probably. You're going to prune it back hard, and now is the time to do it. You're going to keep it in a sunny location. Do not spray with water, whatever you do. I probably wouldn't even bother with the baking soda. I would just keep the plant in full sun water sparingly, but do at some point when you're doing this pruning, provide some fertilizer, just an all-purpose fertilizer for the rosemary plants when you're watering. And as soon as you can, start moving them outside. I think you'll find that the new growth will be perfectly green. The old growth will eventually fall off because it's all covered in mildew. So they'll never be great looking plants. They're always going to be like a little bit bald at the bottom with lots of green on the top. I would plant them right out into the garden if you can this summer. Let them grow into beautiful big plants this summer and then chop them down before the fall. Don't try and bring them in again. Get yourself some fresh little baby rosemary plants if you want to bring some in the fall.
Oh, I use mine as ornamental, really. Mm-hmm. This is not the one I eat. This is either I put them in my urns. And they're about a meter wide. That's how big they are. Everybody thinks they're lavender, actually. And
right.
I had a friend over the other last weekend, and he thought they still look great. He's a gardener, and he thought, but to me, they've lost all their oil and their scent. You know, they're getting to the point where, and I'm not going to plant. So I'm going to keep them in that same pot. this year I'm just trying to save them for another year.
No, I think it sounds like you know what you're doing. Main thing is do the pruning that you recognize that they need, and that will stimulate new fresh growth. All right.
Thanks very much Joanne. We have to go to a break. Bell, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. Charlie, we should just mention as well that if you ever want to listen to The Garden Show again, you can catch the podcast, right?
That's right. Very simply, go to am740.ca, I believe is what you do. Go to podcasts. The Garden Show. Wow, how many years? About 15 years worth of shows are all there in the archive. So you can listen and make notes, stop, pause, rewind, do whatever you wish. You don't need an iPod to listen to a podcast. You just need a computer or a cell, smartphone.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Wanda on the line, who is calling from North York. Welcome to The Garden Show, Wanda.
Thank you. Good morning. Since you've been talking about pruning and the dormant oil, what do you do first? Do you prune or do you spray with the dormant oil?
Oh, prune first.
Okay.
No point in spraying what you're going to prune off, right?
Oh, that makes sense. So if I were to prune, say, on a good day, and then, a couple of days later, I spray, that's okay?
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, are you talking about pruning like fruit trees or berry bushes or...?
Fruit trees, basically. I've got apple, cherry, apricot, and nectarine, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so get on to the pruning. I mean, we've actually had a pretty amazing winter for pruning. We've had some nice, clear... It doesn't need to be warm. Like, if you want it warm just for your comfort, but the plants are fine to be pruned on a cold day. The main thing is you want it to be dry and clear. And so we've had some really good days for that so far. Obviously, today isn't one of them, but grab those clear days if you can. Do the pruning you need to do. Get that all out of the way. Give the plants, at least 24 hours, 48 hours to dry down a bit. The wounds that you make are wounds and do need to dry down a bit, and then get out your dormant spray.
Okay, super. Thank you very much.
Okay,
you're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Wanda. You know what? It really, when you say to prune on a dry day, I know that it always, the way that I make that make sense in my head is that if you cut yourself and you keep it in a sink full of water, it cannot possibly scab, right?
Exactly.
And so you want it to scab to seal it in like a Band-Aid. It's a natural Band-Aid. So that's why you have to have it dry, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And back in the old days, even when I was at university, which is a long time ago, black pruning paint was recommended, and it's this tar-based material in a spray can or just in a paintbrush type can. And the idea was you would put that onto the wound that you had done when you did the pruning. Well, crazily enough, a little bit of research was done, and it was realized that actually that pruning paint slows down the plant's ability to seal the wound. It does not help whatsoever. It is a very negative product to use. It is still available. I would never recommend using it. It's also really unsightly. It's just a big black blob on your tree. Mm-hmm. And when you do a cut, it's usually yellow wood under there or pale wood. And then you put this big black stuff on and it's just, it looks silly and it slows down. It's detrimental to the tree. So don't use it.
Well, we continue to learn, don't we? Yes, indeed. Okay, we have a caller on the line and the chocolate pit. We have Ken on the line from King Township. And apparently the last time he called in and spoke to you was a decade and a half ago. So welcome back to the Garden Show, Ken. I sort of feel like I should give you the garden wings anyway. So
hello, Ken.
Hello. Thank you very much. My question is this. I have to move my garden. And how far away from a septic bank should it be? Septic bed should it be?
A septic bed or tank? Like the field or the tank?
Well, both, I guess, but the leach field mostly.
Okay, and you have to do that because you've got some construction going on, or you just think it's the right thing to do?
Well, last year I had some blights that attacked my tomato plants, and it says to plant them someplace differently, and I just need to move it anyway. So
okay. Well, it's interesting. I was just reading an article about this the other day. The idea of how we love to plant around and to camouflage to some extent the septic tank. And that's not a bad thing to do, but you want to put in plants that are what we would consider shallow rooted, or plants that are will not get really, really big and make it impossible to get into the septic tank because every now and then it has to be emptied and cleaned. And you never, ever plant close to the field. The septic field needs full open lawn, really, or just open prairie to do its thing. So how far away? I don't think there's any real magical distance. It just depends what you're, if it's things like vegetables are usually great to plant around a septic tank because they're a short-term crop. But we have to rotate our crops. So we never keep planting tomatoes in the same spot every year. Around my septic tank, I've planted a bunch of perennial flowers. Believe it or not, I put in a couple of cedars close by. Hopefully that's not going to, it won't impact the tank. And then, some shrubs, flowering shrubs, small ones like Dutzia is a very pretty one that I've planted nearby. It's a small flowering shrub that won't take over. And meanwhile, it does a really good job making my tank kind of disappear to the eye.
So I'm not really concerned about appearance. It's just more concerned about if I plant vegetables, them absorbing some toxic substances coming out of the leaching bed.
No, they're not. That's not toxic. That's the point. That's how septics work. What's coming out of your septic tank is not toxic. So planting vegetables nearby, well, the tank, nothing comes out of the tank, but the field is where the exudate comes out. And that should be basically filtered water is what's coming out of your septic field. So no, don't be concerned about that. If your septic system is working properly, there's nothing toxic in the soil whatsoever. Might be a little extra organic matter, but there's nothing wrong with that. But all the bacteria and stuff is in the tank, so don't worry. Thanks so much for calling again, Ken. We gotta go. I see we're past the 10 o'clock, Dean.
Yeah, we are. We gotta run.
Yeah, damn. Where does the time go?
It's when you're having fun. There you
go. Exactly. Well, we could do another hour. So thank you, Dean. Couldn't do any of this without you. And Owen, you are a star. For a guy that got about 2 hours sleep last night, you're really, really, really good. Thank you. Thanks to all the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.